You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Joe.
Well, we definitely have had some fun today in hour number one. I told you, for me,
the New Orleans Saints select
cornerback out of Louisville, Jair Alexander. Bring him aboard. We spoke with John Anderson from ESPN Louisville back in hour number one. It was fantastic. Absolutely loved it. If you want to go listen to that, feel free to do that as well.
Oh, I recommend it.
It was really good, especially since Brian, had a little something to say about Lamar Jackson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, more than a little something to say. Mm-hmm. Prophetic. I think you should read this like scripture. Just, okay. Download it, do a transcription of it, and read what he said, because, I mean, it was that profound.
Well, also, we talked a little bit about the Zach Lowe article, and at 2:15, Jake Madison will come on and talk about that as well, in that we talk about the Zach Lowe piece, right?
Yes.
The elephant in the room. What do you do with DeMarcus Cousins? You take a look at what's happened since February 3rd, 20-11, the Pels, 24-11, including the postseason, 28-24 with Boogie. The other records I just told you were without. Are we getting ahead of ourselves? Do we not go in that direction? You can make a case and argument for
it's
either.
It's not easy. It's not an easy decision. I'd hate to be Dell Demps and the rest of the guys. It's not easy.
Hmm. You know what can maybe help a little clarity on this?
Hmm. I know that music.
Do you?
Yes.
It can only mean one thing. None other than the voice of the Tulane Green Wave. They take on Texas Southern this afternoon, 19-22, 6-6 in conference play, winning the weekend series in dramatic fashion. Todd Graffodini, how's the voice? You had to call a lot of highlights over the weekend, Todd.
Voice is great, Gus. Just my kind of series. A lot of highlights, a lot of runs, a lot
right.
of hits.
Right.
30 runs and, 31 runs
right.
and 30 hits in the doubleheader on Saturday. So.
How many home runs in the doubleheader?
Six.
Wow.
Maybe?
So,
five or six?
So you had five or six opportunities to basically just do the only thing I really care about. I mean, the winning's fine. The right calls are good, but we asked you for one thing. One thing and one thing only. Arrivederci. Did you throw it in one of the calls?
I actually did, Gus. I did.
Fly ball deep right center. Way, way back. Mayer, Wall, looks up. It's in the net. Ask and ye shall receive. Arrivederci.
Wow, home run.
Grant Witherspoon. Insurance.
I gotta say, that sounded really natural. It did. Graf, I don't know if you think so, but I think that needs to be part of, I mean, that's definitely a graphism. It sounds perfect. Perfect.
We'll see. I don't know.
Did you not like it? I mean, did you get feedback? Did people notice?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds a little forced to me. And here's another interesting little tidbit, Gus. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about the word arrivederci, which of course is goodbye, but in a technical sense, in Italian, arrivederci is goodbye until we meet again. If you translate it,
right.
The way it is. So, do you say you call a home run goodbye until we meet again?
Until another home run call. Yeah, that's how I take it. See what I just did there, Brian?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Graf on this one.
No, I'm telling you, at ESPN Radio NOLA, should Todd stay with Arrivederci in a home run?
Now, in the right context, mm-hmm. okay. Now, that home run, it just came to my mind because that basically salted the second game away, as you
okay,
heard.
Okay, so maybe it in a game-deciding game.
It's got
walk-off?
In the right context, I think it'll work. I think it'll work. I actually did it twice. I actually did it twice that day. I did it in the first game as well, which was totally out of context. But I wanted to shut you up, so that's why I said it.
Ty Graffinini at NT Graffs, the way to follow over on Twitter. Here's the one thing that I'm sure you're happy about that you would like to talk about. The fact that Tulane's actually you're winning series, and that's what you have to do. You're getting closer and closer to 500 now, 19-22. It seemed like a daunting task to get above 500, but you got to take advantages when you can. And you mentioned midweek games winning is something that you need to do. You beat LSU last week, Texas Southern today, and then at UConn this weekend. You got to pick up W's.
No question. We're getting there. We're getting better. We're swinging the bats the best we have all year. That's not even a question. We hit 354 last week as a team in the four games. So the lineup's really starting to take shape. Still got to get better on the mound. Still giving up too many big innings. You know, that second inning on Friday night really did us in and cost us a sweep. And this game tonight really would be to get back to 500, would have been the one. So, you know, still got to get a little more consistent, especially out of the bullpen. I think our weekend rotation now is solidified, which is very good news going forward with four weekend conference series left. And, you know, if we could just get some more guys to be more consistent out of the bullpen, Gus, I like our chances when we head to that conference tournament. And, of course, we're still in the thick of it as far as the conference regular season. We're only two games back with four weekends to go. So if they continue to get better, especially on the mound, I like the way we're playing ball right now.
And I guess one of the things you were talking about, the hittings there as well, but obviously, Todd, one of the things that Tulane has done and at times failed to do, even though you did against UNO finally, but you didn't on two other occasions, you're going to have the 1-2 run games. We just finished talking to Tim Grubbs about it. They had a lot of games in which they lost 3-2, 4-3, things of that nature. If you're close, you got to bring it home.
I agree 100%, and that really is the difference right now with this season where Tulane is and where it could have been. I mean, I could think of five games right off the top of my head, Gus, where we had leads in the eighth inning or later and watched them slip away. And, I mean, you're talking about a team that would be really battling right in the thick of it maybe to get an at-large bid right now, but just too many blown leads at the beginning of the season. Of course, all those games count. I mean, even the ones in February where you're thinking, oh, it's just out of conference. No, all those games mean something. And that's why I've said it from forever. You can never just take a game for granted because you never know which is the one that's going to cost you in the end. So, look, all that's done. You got to look forward. And, again, you got to keep it going. You know, no steps back anymore. We've got a chance to finish this nine-game homestand at 7-2. And you don't want to take a step back here tonight against Texas Southern, because I know what's looming on the weekend, and that's a UConn team, which is just, Gus, they're doing it again. I mean, really? It is unbelievable what Jim Penders has done up in Storrs, Connecticut, with probably the worst facility in D1 in a major school. And they just win. I mean, it's unbelievable. They just continue to win. They went up to Cincinnati, who was tied for first place in the league this weekend, and beat them 2 out of 3. So, no, that's what's coming up this weekend. At least it looks good as far as weather-wise. We're playing in a minor league ballpark in Hartford on Friday and Saturday, so that's good. And then we'll go to the old J.O. Christian Field on Sunday for an early start. The old Jock, as they call it up
there.
I've
seen the pictures you've sent of that facility.
Oh, yeah, let me tell you.
I'd say Mike Miley playgrounds ball right there on David and Airline.
I would say Mike Miley is Dodger Stadium compared to what we're going to go up to on Sunday. But I digress. It starts tonight, and let's just keep it going.
And you do know you play next Tuesday, right?
Yeah, evidently. I think we're going to the Pete.
Yep.
Next Tuesday.
Yep.
Haven't been there in a while.
Yeah, you know, just. Good luck.
Yeah.
They're a good team this year. I'm just saying, it should be a fun game.
No, they're a very good team. They're a very good team. Always a treat going up to Pete Taylor Park in Hattiesburg. I've had some of my greatest moments there as a broadcaster. Tulane has obviously played Southern Miss so many times back in Metro Conference and Conference USA. And It's just been a great place to go watch ball games and call ball games, and tremendous atmosphere. How was the Pebble this weekend, Gus?
Pebble was nice. Pebble was nice. Nice crowd out there. It was real good. I enjoyed it, you know. The whole weekend was nice.
You didn't run on the field?
I did not, and I was still disappointed. I, you know, was not asked to go on the field with Brett Favre to hand out awards. And
right.
I'm still waiting for at least the doorway at College Hall where the broadcasting section of the universe, I mean, something, a flower bed, a pot. I mean,
Keep waiting, Gus.
You don't think there's any shot the school recognizes the excellence in some way, shape, form, or fashion?
I would say there is zero shot when it's all said and done.
Not even one?
None.
Not nope. even one?
Not a one. Not going to happen.
All right. We'll let you go with this. I got to play the appropriate music. The Inception music, because
oh boy,
next segment, we're going to get into it with
Jake
Madison. The Zach Lowe piece. To resign, to not resign. How much do you resign if you resign? If you don't resign, what happens? Do you stay with Mirotić? Is the team better without Mirotić? Is the team good with Mirotić and Boogie? Can they coexist? All of these different things, Todd. I'm not trying to take away from the excellence that is a first-round sweep with Golden State looming more than likely. How do you feel about Zach Lowe's piece? Do you resign?
Actually, I haven't read it. I haven't read it, Gus. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to you guys talk. They're not going to ask my opinion. And I don't know if this would happen,
right?
But this is what I would do. This is what I would do. I would bring Boogie into the room, and I'd say, look, man, you know we love you. You know you're a part of this. But I cannot give you a max contract without knowing how you are going to be physically. Now, let's think about it. When did he get hurt? A couple of months ago?
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be back until maybe the All-Star break next year or a little before the All-Star break at tops.
It's so about a year recovery.
Yeah, so this is what we do here, Boogie. And obviously, you've seen what we can do without you. Now, we've seen what we... Now, I'm just telling you, this is how it's got to be done.
Disrespect.
Boogie, we love you. We want you to be a part of this.
Okay.
But I can't give you a max contract. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a one-year deal.
Ooh.
In the 12 to 15, you know, million range, we'll give you $12 million, and you're going to play a half a year at best. And we're going to see how it works. And if it works, come on in. We'll max deal you. If it don't, well, you can be on your way, and you can get your max deal with somebody else.
Wow.
That's what I would do.
Not expecting a one-year deal. The disrespect.
One-year deal.
Look, I said three-year deal, third-year player option for 2 years. Then you'll have an idea because he's not going to be fully ready to go. And being the Boogie that we saw this year where he could get in shape and run up and down the floor and all that next year, it's just not happening. So to your point, he's going to be coming in once the season has started. So you're looking at 2 years from now to probably get the Boogie that you saw at best, that we saw when they were winning 7 of 8 before the injury.
Right, and one full year without him. Meaning, again, it's still a pretty small sample size, what we're seeing right now, which is pretty darn good.
Right.
So, however, you know, after a year of this, with Rondo running the point and Mirotić at the four, well, then it's not a small sample size anymore. Then it's not a fluke.
Yeah.
Because other teams are going to probably do what they can to adjust to this next year. But after a year, no. And that's why, again, you know, maybe a one-year deal is maybe a little too strong, but you can't max them out until you find out.
You can't do 5 157.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You can't. You can't mortgage your future when you don't know how he's going to react physically.
And not just that, Todd. You can't add to the team, if that's the case, you know?
Right.
He just can't. Todd Graffanini, voice of the Tulane Green Wave, for what it's worth, that's his opinion on hoops. If you want to listen to the baseball game tonight, the Tulane Radio Network, it is Texas Southern Should be a beautiful evening for baseball, Todd. Enjoy UConn as well. Safe travels. We'll talk again next week.
Yeah, Gus, it is going to be a beautiful night. I will be sitting outside next to the dugout tonight.
Nice. Look at you. There he goes. At NT Graphs, the way to follow on Twitter. Brian?
That was tremendous.
Yeah, it was a tremendous segment.
Yes.
Especially because he took my advice and used Arrivederci.
No, I think it was because he said he'd give Boogie a one-year deal.
Jake Madison, Locked On Pels. He's up next. His thoughts. What do you do? It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Bucks and Celtics. Series tied at 2 apiece, NBA TV. Two games on TNT. Heat trying to remain alive at Philly 3-1. You got Screamin' A at Allen Iverson on this morning on First Take. They are on board. This is the year for the Sixers. Stephen A. saying finals bound is what Philly is heading. Spurs Warriors 3-1 Golden State looking to close out San Antonio. The late game on TNT. Jake Madison, Locked On Pels, joining us at NOLA Jake's. The way to follow over on Twitter. Jake, how are you doing, bud?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on today, Gus.
Do you think Philly's a finals team?
You know, I think when you see this East looking a little bit weaker than what we thought, and some of these contenders, the Toronto Raptors, the Boston Celtics, taking a little bit longer to kind of eliminate their first-round opponents, maybe it opens the door for Philly a little bit. I think they're maybe a bit away, but this was maybe the tougher matchup they were going to have with Miami Heat in the first round. You had to figure Hassan Whiteside actually matches up well with them to take away Joel Embiid, even though he hasn't really played. But they've managed to kind of get away from all of that. They're running away with this series, and all of a sudden things might break wide open for them.
Yeah, no doubt. Bucks and Celtics has been an interesting one as well. You're starting to see, I guess, some of the athleticism in Milwaukee that you were expecting to see.
Yeah, and you're also seeing Boston, who's kind of overachieved all year,
yes,
despite all the injuries that they've had. Really just it finally is starting to catch up to them, and some of these guys are hitting, you know, a rookie wall in Jason Tatum. You know, you're seeing the play dip a little bit, which is kind of hurting them. They're turning the ball over a lot, which has been a big problem. But like you said, Giannis is the best player in that series, and having the best player in the series will get you a long way and can often just win you a series in the first round.
I thought back on Sunday, San Antonio did a not on our house, not for pop sort of game and battle to get swept from Golden State. They played tonight. Obviously, lots of Pels fans are paying attention to this one. Jake, answer this, because I felt a lot of fans have asked me this, and I've seen them probably asking you on Twitter. Do you want this series to continue, or do you want it to wrap up in hopes that Steph Curry doesn't play?
Yeah, you know, I actually talked about this in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, the podcast that I host, and you want this series to end right now if possible. That has the best chance of keeping Steph Curry maybe from not playing in Game 1 against the New Orleans Pelicans, but also gives them less time to kind of game plan for the Pels. It doesn't give Curry time to come back in this series and maybe shake off some of the rust. We've seen that if you are not in game shape, it can be difficult to get into a series or to play at a high level. And Curry's been out for 5 weeks at this point. That's a very long time.
Wow.
You don't want him to get into a game action in, you know, in this series and then shake off a little bit of that and then get hot playing the Pelicans. You want the Warriors to win tonight, and let's just move on to the second round.
Jake, this is Brian, and you brought up Steph Curry just now. I wanted to ask you, do you think it's a smokescreen that Steph Curry is really as hurt as people are trying to report and put out there? Or do you think this is all a smokescreen and that he's just going to come out and he's going to come out guns blazing against the Pelicans as soon as they can wrap up this series with San Antonio?
No, you know, I think there's a definite injury there. You know, they were trying to win games late in the season and struggling too, and we've seen all year long that they haven't done particularly well, even when all of their big four guys are out there. They're a little bit off, so you think he'd want to get into the lineup, be able to play, and kind of create a little bit more chemistry with this team and generate some momentum heading into the playoffs. They were 10-10 over, I think, their past the final 20 games in the regular season. That's not what you want when you head into the playoffs. You know, they've shown some vulnerabilities despite making the finals the past 3 years when he's been injured in the playoffs. Some of those series have gone on longer than we expected. They have looked like maybe there's a potential for an upset there, too. So I think they're trying to do everything they can to make sure he's 100% when he steps back out on the court versus 80% when you've seen them struggle. I think that's part of the reason why, and that's why I think you might not really see him until he's 100% ready to play.
I definitely want to get into the breakdown of this series later on in the week, Jake, sort of like you did going into the Portland series to give fans an idea as to why there's some matchups that, maybe can favor or not. But just your overall feeling from what you've seen in four games against Portland and getting that sweep, Pell's playing as good a basketball as anyone, really, and like legit basketball, right? Not just because you're a fan or you watch or you're enjoying and you want the local team to win. Like, they're playing the kind of basketball that will win anywhere against anybody.
Yeah, right now they are. They look like world beaters. They're riding a 9-game winning streak to 5 at the end of the regular season, then the 4 in the playoffs. They're still the only team out of the first round of the playoffs right now. They're the only team in the second round. And they look like they can compete with anyone, particularly when you play defense like that. Now, Portland was a very good matchup for them. Golden State's going to present a whole other number of problems. There's guys on the wings that can absolutely beat the Pelicans, and the Pelicans don't necessarily have an answer there. But the key to stopping the Warriors is defending them on the perimeter and playing sound basketball on the inside. The Pels have the perfect combination of guys that can do that, Drew Holiday, who can shut down Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and can even switch on to Kevin Durant if need be and play very good defense against him. And then you've got Anthony Davis, who can get it done on the inside. You've got enough shooting around there to maybe keep up with Golden State. You don't want to get into a shootout with them, but if they're hitting threes not at a tremendously high rate, the Pelicans think their offense will be able to sustain itself and they'll hit enough threes to keep it going. So this is going to be a closer series than people think. The Pels might not win, but if you can stretch this to 6 or 7 games, I think that looks as a very good series for the Pelicans, and I think you consider that almost a moral victory to build on to into this coming season.
Ah, there it is. He used the word Bill. See, Jake Madison knows what he's doing, Brian and Early East. It's called a segue. I know that Jake's the way to follow. Jake over on Twitter. Okay, Zach Lowe put out today his piece where he calls it the elephant in the room, and it's what do you do with Boogie Cousins? I understand fully, and everyone does as well. Pels are still in it. Who knows where the run may go, but at some point in time, June comes, and for agency, the draft works. And, Jake, I find it's not really in the room because whether it's the gym, it's the store, it's the weekend with the guys, as you're watching the Pels in games 3 and 4, people are going, I don't know if I re-sign Boogie because you're seeing what Mirotić can do. And, look, I mean, February 3rd, right, he comes apart, he starts playing with this team. 20-11 are the Pels, 24-11 if you add the postseason, 48-34 overall, so you do the subtraction, 28-24 with Boogie. What do you do, Jake? Because I can make cases and arguments for each and then sub-cases and arguments under those cases.
Yeah, this is not an easy thing to answer. And I read the Zach Lowe article, and I found it very fair and balanced on both sides of why you do this, why you don't. I think he laid it out. And Zach Lowe's the best. Let's just straight up say that right now, that he's the best there is when it comes to writing about the NBA. He laid out both sides, and it shows you that the Pelicans have a very tough decision coming up. And I can tell you internally, they've talked about not re-signing him. They've talked about giving him a max deal. And as Zach Lowe said in there, they've talked about maybe trying to broach him with a 2+1 or somewhere in the middle. And there's not necessarily a good answer on either way of how to go about this. And I think we're not necessarily going to have an answer till we see how this second round series with the Golden State Warriors plays out. If you win and you beat the Warriors and you move on to the Western Conference Finals, well, the picture becomes a little bit clearer. If you get swept and you're 0-4 against the Warriors, well, one of the ways, as we just talked about, that you've got to beat them is with a big bruising guy on the inside. Mm-hmm. Someone who can do that is DeMarcus Cousins. So I think that's kind of where maybe the question's being posed a little bit too early. But I'll tell you this, in the playoffs, you've got to rely on star power. The guys who carried New Orleans in this series were Drew Holiday and Anthony Davis. The guys who couldn't carry Portland was Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum. They weren't able to get it done. They forced the ball to those other guys, Evan Turner, Al-Farouq Aminu, and that did not beat the Pelicans. Well, the Pels might need that third guy, that fourth guy there, and DeMarcus Cousins would be a great option for them if that's going to be the case. So I think that's a big thing you look at here with it. They're playing a different style. You're not going to continue to play this fast. I don't know if the defense will be as good with DeMarcus Cousins back there, but at a certain point you need to keep more talent on this team and not losing it. And when you look at their salary situation, and Zach Lowe's article really focuses on the money, that's the big thing here, the luxury tax, what happens if it all falls apart or he doesn't come back from his injury. And when you look at it like that, this team's not necessarily going to be able to go out and spend $20 to $30 million on other free agents to replace him. They're over the salary cap. They're not going to have that space there. So if you want to keep talent on this team, well, you've got to re-sign him, and that's kind of the big question.
See, that's the thing. That's why I was going to ask you about the money. And I want to say midway point in the season, you came on, we were talking about this, and what kind of deal, and you said close to the max, somewhere around like 157 instead of the 170 and all that, is probably what you thought it was going to be. And so you know the situation salary-wise better than I do. I'm greedy. Can I not? You said, I want to say, with Boogie, they're close to the luxury tax or over.
So, you know, think of it this way. You know, when they made that move for Mirotić, and a lot of people wonder with Mirotić here on this team, and then you re-sign Cousins, you go over the tax. They were going to be over into the tax no matter what. They're just below it by about a million or two. I'm a nerd. Okay. I don't have my salary cap spreadsheet here in front of me, unfortunately. But they're about a million or two below the luxury tax threshold right now in the NBA. To bring in Mirotić, they had to send out salary equal to that. So all that's kind of the same. Cousins is making between 18 and 22 million this season. You re-sign him to a max deal, you're looking at 30 million plus. So all of a sudden, you're going to be deep into the luxury tax there. And if you want to try and get under that, you're going to need to shed the money other ways. And there's not really a whole lot of great options to do that. I don't think they want to shed a first round pick and attach that to someone like Solomon Hill just to get under that. But look, you see Gail Benson in the locker room after that first round sweep of the Portland Trail Blazers. She's hugging
his arm around her.
Hugging, exactly. Was one of the first people she went to. She saw the atmosphere in Portland and loved it. She was up there with the team during their two games. She came here in New Orleans and thought it was amazing how loud it was in the Smoothie King Center. Yes, she's a new owner, but she's also been prepped for this for a while. But you could not make a better first impression on her to spend into the luxury tax and make this team a real contender, which, when you add DeMarcus Cousins to this, should be the case. A lot of people want to point to the on-off numbers of DeMarcus Cousins when they had him here versus what they're like without him, and I think those are a little bit misleading. This team had a positive net rating of about 4.5 with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins on the court. A positive net rating of 6 or more usually puts you in championship contender range, so they are very close right there. After the DeMarcus Cousins injury, and if you look at the current starting lineup they have right now of Holiday, Rondo, Moore, Mirotić, Davis, it does really, really well. It's a positive net rating of about 14. But that's a much smaller sample size by about half than it was with AD and Cousins there. And that also doesn't really take into account that Anthony Davis has tremendously stepped up his level of play since DeMarcus Cousins went down. Imagine this version of AD with DeMarcus Cousins. That's a scary prospect. And I think, you know, you can look at the numbers and they might say, don't re-sign him, but it's a little bit misleading. You've got to look at the larger context around it.
I know Brian's got a question for you, but I feel like playing devil's advocate here, because is the spacing and is the type of game that Mirotić plays allowing AD to grow and thrive in that situation? I almost felt sometimes in watching the game, AD maybe,
deferred,
right, to DeMarcus to sort of have that. When they won 7 of 8, you saw a little bit more gelling, and Davis was sort of the role in the lead, and you didn't see Boogie taking as many top-of-the-key threes and playing point center and all this other stuff. So I don't know. Is part of the stipulation, if you do sign them back too? Because I like what I'm seeing now, that this works. This seems to mesh and work with the coach who said, this is what I envisioned when I got here. There's so many elements that go into this decision in there.
Yeah, and this is why it's a really tough one that the Pels are going to be faced with, and I'll talk about that in a moment here. We might have to go into the next section on this one, Gus. It's such a complicated issue and everything. But imagine how they'll be used next year. I don't think you're going to really trot a lineup out there of Davis, Cousins, and Mirotić all at the same time very often. You're likely going to stagger Cousins and Mirotić to play with AD, almost creating a pairing where you have one of them with him on the court at all times. That's maybe an ideal situation. Cousins is going to come back. He's likely not going to play on the second night of back-to-backs. He's probably going to be hovering below 30 minutes per game. So keeping him out there in kind of that reserve-ish role is maybe the best way to ease him back, and you can kind of blend both styles of how they were playing when he was healthy versus how they're playing now without him. I think that's going to be one of the big things. It's not necessarily Mirotić or Cousins. I think you can still find a way to do it both. And we've seen this coaching staff has done a tremendous job with rotations, a tremendous job with lineups, that I trust them to kind of get that done going forward. Mirotić also has been a guy who's historically played around 25 to 30 minutes per game. not the 38 that he's really been playing in New Orleans. You've got to wonder if he can keep this up, because we did see him struggle earlier in the year with a much larger role, similar to the one that he's had right now. This could just be a hot streak he's on and not necessarily the new normal for him that we're going to see next season.
Jake, we've talked so much about Boogie Cousins coming back, but nobody really seems to talk about Rajon Rondo and what he's meant to the team as far as what happens once his contract expires this year, and you're going to need a point guard because there's no guarantee Frank Jackson is going to be that guy. So what happens with Rondo, and how can the Pels bring him back?
Yeah, you know, that's going to be the other big decision they're going to have to make, is what are they going to be willing to spend on him. Rondo has done a tremendous job here rehabbing not only his play on the court, but his reputation and image as well. You've heard all season long when they talk off-court stuff, chemistry, all of that leadership, there's one name that routinely has been mentioned, and that is Rajon Rondo. And that's a guy they almost have to bring back unless someone out there is throwing themselves out to New Orleans to come here and try and lead this team. He's been such a positive influence in so many aspects. Having that coach on the court calling out the Portland sets because he's been staying up all night watching game film is an invaluable asset to have in the postseason. You know, he's at, I think, $3.2, $3.7 million right now. You'll expect that to get bumped up. This team doesn't have a lot of ways to add players onto it. They don't even have his bird rights since he's on a one-year deal, so they're going to have to dip into something called the mid-level exception to be able to sign new free agents since they're over the salary cap. I expect that they will do that, and I think what they're looking at is, okay, we have this roster that's gotten us to the second round of the playoffs. Maybe you have a competitive series against the Golden State Warriors. Now you add DeMarcus Cousins back in. That's almost like you're adding a free agent to this team, and we're going to be a real championship contender going into next year.
I mean, again, this makes so much sense. Like I said, I was greedy. I want Mirotić back. Obviously, you have him for next year and everything. And I just get the sense when I see Gail Benson in the Pels sweatshirt in Portland, Jake, when she's in there high-fiving. And, you know, I loved one of the pictures. She's talking to Nico Mirotić's kid, and she's wrapping arms with Boogie Cousins. I'm like, I can totally see her going, you know what, for 1 year, if we're close, if you think, because they, what, the reports are Alvin Gentry's option got picked up. So, you know, hey, go for it for 1 year. And I could see her maybe dipping into the luxury tax one season if they think they can get to the finals and if they get into the Western Conference finals and can get close.
Yeah, you know, so there's a number of things with that. One, I think you'll see the Pelicans and Alvin Gentry work on an extension this offseason. You don't want to broach that subject right now and have that be a distraction. You have the option. You've got to pick it up. I think it was almost guaranteed they had to pick it up if they made the playoffs, but again, not as accurate necessarily as Woj here. So he's back for the next year. You know, they've ducked the luxury tax this year and in seasons past because it's a repeater tax. The more years you're in it, the more punitive it gets. It jumps from dollar per dollar to $2.50 a dollar to up to $5 per dollar spent. It can get expensive to remain in there year after year after year. That's why you've got to pick and choose the year very carefully that you do dip in there so that it doesn't hurt you 3 or 4 years further down the line. And I think by delaying it, not paying it this year, it makes it so you can do it next season because you're at that dollar-for-dollar level, not the two-for-one level, and I think that's a big part of that. But there are pitfalls with signing DeMarcus Cousins and dipping into the luxury tax, and as Zach Lowe laid it out, the big thing is guys coming back from this injury do not always come back at 100%. In fact, they almost never do. You're looking at 80% at best, and we've never seen someone with the size of DeMarcus Cousins, the position he plays, kind of come back at that level. So if you do give him a 5-year max deal and it doesn't work out, your team is shot in the future. You hamstrung yourself with the salary cap, and you're not going to be able to add anyone new. But look, if you give him a 2-year deal and he's not able to come back at what he was, you've done the same thing for the foreseeable future. 5 years down the line, to me, doesn't really matter because it's the next two and getting Anthony Davis to re-sign with the team for that next contract. You've got to just focus on the 2 years. If Anthony Davis leaves after 2 years and doesn't sign his next contract here, who cares if you're paying DeMarcus Cousins $40 million because you weren't going to be good then anyway. You weren't going to have the assets or the salary cap space to reload, even if you didn't have that $40 million on the books when you have Drew Holiday at what he's at and some of these other players. So I don't think looking too far down the line that it really matters. This team's going to be bad without Anthony Davis. It's as simple as that. So you may as well almost go for broke while you have him here.
My stomach just turned at the mere thought of Anthony Davis not being here. The good thing is he did say, and at the end of game 4, they're trying to build a legacy here. So I love hearing that. Jake, we'll get back with you. Hey, feel free. Stop on by. Actually, no, we're going to be at the Zurich Classic on Friday. Never mind, because I was going to invite you to lunch again. But we'll get together again once we find out when the series begins. It looks like more than likely around Saturday or Sunday. And we'll get into the breakdown for the Golden State Warriors. Great stuff, as always. If you want more from Jake, real simple, Locked On Pels, the podcast, LockedOnPels.com. And when he joins us here on the show, The Sports Angler. Thank you, bud.
Thanks, Jake.
Of course, thanks for having me on, you guys.
Yeah, for sure, at Nola Jake.
The info is just different.
No,
man.
I mean again, it's good. But he laid it out pretty simple. You can see, though, why this isn't as simple as, well, we like him, bring it back.
Yeah.
It's hard.
You know what? I don't envy Demps or Gentry or anybody else in the front office, because if you get this one wrong.
When we come back, I'm going to play a couple of AD bites, because, again, you can sort of hear, and he wants to win.
Yes.
And right now he's winning. And right now this team's together and it's winning. That said, he's also inviting, I mean, Boogie's a part of it as well. I don't know. I'm not a good enough basketball guy mind to envision. Because what's stopping me right now, as I need to go to break, is I can't pick. Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Again, I didn't do the right math. Scott helping us out here. 27-21 with Boogie, 25-13 without including the playoffs.
And here I was giving you credit for doing your math.
Well, I mean, I just looked at wins and losses. There were some that probably, you know, you played and didn't play and things of that nature.
Just don't do math.
Bottom line, it's not clear. I mean, it's
no.
They've won with them. They've won without them. They look different, though. Without him.
That pace
now,
is just
now, they look different in a bad way sometimes, too.
Oh, yeah, that four-game losing streak.
Well, remember,
even before Boogie,
remember
that was
the Mirotić trade happened after they continued to lose some games.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
They're like, reports are the Pelicans and Bulls have traded for him. They've agreed. They've agreed on a
yes.
trade. And then Nikola was like, yo, you got to guarantee that 12 mil.
Yeah, I need
that. And Dell was like, yeah, we can't do that. And he was like, man, Chicago's great this time of year.
Yeah, you know.
Then I think, what, two games went by, they lost, like,
yeah,
they got hammered.
Yeah, it's like, okay, and then, enough of that.
Hello? Dell?
Yes.
Oh, hey, what's up, Dell? How's it going? Man, let me tell you, man, I looked under my couch, and I found me some $12 million. And there it is, man. I'm more than happy to guarantee you. I thought I didn't have it. I found it. It's under the couch.
Who knew?
Who knew? Guaranteeing it, huh? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. New Orleans is fantastic this time.
You know what? I've
heard
a lot about
way.
Gumbo.
On my way.
Yeah.
On my way.
Change that. You know what?
I mean, people forget that. Like,
yeah.
They agreed to it, and then it didn't happen. And then they played a pair of games and got hammered.
Yeah. And then, of course, I think Utah was trying to, you know, I think it was Utah that was trying to call and also see about.
Oh, yeah. The old agent leaking it out there. Oh, you know, there are other teams that want us now.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't want to guarantee it, you imagine if we'd gone to Utah.
Oh, man. With Ingles right now?
Well, yeah. Well, that's, wait a minute. What would have happened to Ingles? In the
I think they would have both played. You can play them just like you want to do with them.
By the way, it's Lord Ingles.
Oh, he can be that's called whatever. What he did to Paul George last night?
That's what I was tweeting last night. I'm like, Lord Ingles.
Call
that
him
dude
whatever.
Was talking smack. He would launch a three. It would hit nothing but twine. And he would turn and pivot immediately and stare in the face of Paul George.
Oh, that's like, playoff P.
I mean, I'm sorry. Playoff P.
Yeah.
Give himself a nickname. Playoff P.
Oh. Well, Ingles, you know, killed the legend real quick.
I mean, as somebody that gives themselves nicknames, that's an inappropriate way to give yourself a nickname. I do give myself some pretty good nicknames, though.
No, you don't. You know, sports guru.
Salsa celebrity.
Sports legend.
Salsa celebrity.
What's the other one? Salted caramel or whatever you call yourself?
No. Somebody called me salted caramel.
How old was she? She was like 90, wasn't she?
I mean, it doesn't matter the age. A lady referenced my appearance and said he's... It looks like salted caramel. That's, you know.
Interesting.
What's age have to do with me? I mean,
I'm not an ageist. I'm just asking how old was she. That's all.
Why are you jealous?
No, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, the last time we, you know, you told us about a story which you interacted with someone, they were flipping you off, and then all of a sudden now you're salted caramel.
No. That was years apart. Years apart. And that was a little brat on a school bus.
Wow.
Need some discipline. All right, Anthony Davis.
The truth.
Yes. And so after the game, he had this to say about winning the first series. It's the very end of the bite that's interesting. That stands out.
You know, Dobe been shooting to me all series about, you know, being great, you know, and being great and stuff like that. So I just try to go out every game and just play, you know, the best of my ability to go out there and help the team win. You know, trying to, you know, build a legacy here in New Orleans and let people know that we're for real.
Mm-hmm.
That's great to hear.
Mm-hmm. And listen to Alvin Gentry talking about, did he see a sweep against the Blazers? I want to say this is the bite, too. We say, was this kind of the team that he envisioned?
No, I don't think anybody would ever think that you were going to sweep that team in there, especially the way, you know, they had a streak this season where they won 13 straight games. And to do that, you got to be really good. So I knew that we would be competitive with it and everything. And then just the season and what has gone on and the way things have kind of worked out. I just think when you work hard like these guys have, and they never gave up. They never gave up on each other. They never gave up on anything. And we were just, we were hell-bent on showing everyone that we could be a playoff team. We started that way, and even losing a guy that was averaging 26 and 13 when he went down, we still thought that we got to find a way to show everyone that we can still be a playoff team.
26 and 13 is pretty good. Oh,
it's not bad.
No, it's not. Look, you know what? Here's what's great about it. Is it's literally the ifs and the whats, or the what ifs, mixed in with coulda, shouldas, and wouldas. Right? If AD is not injured, or even having this discussion about the re-signing and the max deal.
Boogie.
Right. Yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah. If Boogie's, no, because right. I think it's a foregone conclusion. It happens.
Do they make the playoffs with Boogie Cousins?
I think they do.
With Boogie Cousins' injury, Nikola Mirotic comes in.
Yes.
With him coming in and the injury, pace and space start to take place.
Yes.
They didn't look that dominant against Portland in the regular season.
No, they didn't.
Their ability to have pace and space, again, my eyeball test, and I get it. The first game was a 2-point win, and I get it. In the second game, it was close again. But I saw a team in Portland that had to play its butt off to compete or stay on the floor with the Pelicans.
I mean,
does that make sense?
It looked,
I mean,
like
in game four,
the better team.
Your boy, yeah. Al-Farouq Aminu, had to, like, have a career game.
Yeah, that.
I mean, but that's what I'm getting at. Like, he had to drop 27 for them to be in the game.
Yeah.
And he's not that. So that wasn't the case earlier in the season.
No. I mean, we're talking about a team that would lose games to, like, Memphis.
I guess what the thing that stands out to me more than anything else is the buy-in on defense.
That's the difference in the Pelicans right there.
And you heard me when I asked Jake on this, too. And again, I don't know if there's an answer on this. I don't know if it's a fair question, although I think it is. Because I always thought as well that AD's relationship with Tyreek Evans hurt him. Does that make sense?
I would agree with that.
They were tight. They were buddies. They hung out. I think it deferred a lot to Tyreek. You know,
oh, no question.
We've been talking a lot about AD, that next step, the LeBron James level, the Kobe's,
yeah,
stuff. You have to be selfish sometimes. It's okay to be. Okay? And I go back to the play in game four. Three straight turnovers. The lead is starting to dwindle. Pass comes into the left corner, left wing, gets back to the top of the key. AD just catches and shoots at top of the key three. Didn't even hesitate.
No, he
as it's going through the net, he turns to the bench, he points to Gentry and starts yelling. And does emotion as in
nine.
To
yeah, put get nine him in his game.
That is different. Now, again, I'm not saying or suggesting that with DeMarcus on the floor, he tends to maybe not be as assertive because it's hard. I mean, you have another guy that can do that, and that would be that's the right thing to do. But maybe my memory serves me wrongly here, but when they did win 7 of 8, right?
Yeah.
AD was the leader. AD was the guy kind of taking over and stuff like that, and Boogie sort of played off of AD.
Mm-hmm.
If they can do that, I'm on board bringing everybody back the way it is. But you keep bringing it up. It's no guarantee. Rondo's having a great season.
Yeah, you're going to need to bring him back.
You have to pay him.
He's the guy that makes everything go. Because even when you hear AD, he said it a moment ago in the bite that you played, Doe tells me X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
You know, Doe's the reason why we do that. Yeah. Doe's our leader on the floor.
What did Jake say? 3.2 to 3.7 he makes?
You got to bring him back.
You may have to double that.
And of course, Frank Jackson, who, you know, I guess he's the point guard in waiting, he's not ready to do that. He's not going to have that level of respect from AD and the rest of the guys.
You're not dipping into the luxury tax, bringing back Nico, bringing back DeMarcus and doing all this other
stuff. And allowing
Frank
Jackson to run the show.
And then you're not doing Rondo.
Yeah.
It's all or in.
Yeah.
And look, and that's what I'm saying. To Jake's point, as we go to break here, okay, never mind. We'll take it to the top of the hour. I mean, my thing is, why not, right?
Yeah.
Why not? I could see saying, hey, let's make a run.
Let's make a run
and just sort of see. But again, I think a lot of it has to do and has to be with what kind of deal you want to give. Now, you're going to find out about DeMarcus. Because, look, Saints fans have been saying it. You know, Drew got to take that hometown discount.
Yeah.
So we can get other players. So we go to free agency.
Yeah.
DeMarcus, you cannot have more than a 3-year deal.
I think Zach Lowe laid it out really.
You can't have it more than a 3-year deal. If he wants 5, I think you have to pat him on the back and be like, man, you made it exciting.
Yeah.
You know, people wanted to come here. It's just not the right fit for the money. We want you here.
You know what?
You cannot do it for more than 3. And the 3rd year has to be a player option.
Maybe. Just maybe. We flip that. And I didn't think about it until just now when you said it. Maybe the team can finagle a way to, you do a 5-year deal, but the 3rd year is a team option. And after that, you can get out the last 2 years.
They're going to take that.
Exactly.
Right.
I get it. But maybe it's possible to say, well, you know.
It just goes to the time frame as well.
You still get your money.
It's the time frame as well. He's not going to be ready to start the season.
No, they got him back till January.
Minimum minutes exactly for that to happen. So you're going to have him half a season. So you're going to need other players in order to do this all over again next year and get in position to make a postseason run. And then he can come in and sort of help you. I can't give you $30 million for that.
No, not for half a season.
I mean, I can't. I can't do that. And he has to understand that, you know. Now, look, I get it from his perspective. It stinks.
Guarantees.
It stinks. Yeah. He lost money being traded. He didn't ask to.
No, he lost about 40 mil.
He lost 40 mil already.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying I play the bite, you know, with AD, you know, on moving forward and Boogie in the house, you know. That's what he had to say.
Oh, yeah, it was very fun to have him on the bench. He was very involved. He was up talking smack. He was, you know, helping us out. Stuff he's seen. Remember one time he came and said something to me and Doe about a situation on offense. So he was involved all night tonight. And then, you know, for the second part, you know, he'd never been in the playoffs before. So him to be here and witness this crowd, I think it, you know, gives him a little edge to come back. But, you know, hopefully we keep it going and it just make him want to be a part of it. But,
I mean, that to me is AD going, hey, look, if you want to be a part of it, that's great. But it definitely came across like, look, we're not going to let, I mean, we want you back, but it's going to have to make sense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what it sounded like to me from AD. He's like, hey, hopefully you want to be back. You don't say that if you don't infer that may mean taking less money.
It's going to be up to
that's what it sounded like
point.
To me.
What means more to you at this point? What means more to you?
I mean, that's what I read into that. AD was like, hey, look, if you want to come back, but, you know.
Got to be at the right point. We got to win. And, I mean, you getting.
Our thanks to Jason Anderson, Tim Grubbs, The Graph, Jake Madison, Mr. Brian Enola East. You'll be with us on Thursday for our draft show.
We'll be back on. We got
Dessert Class. Yeah. Tomorrow, don't forget, 3217 Ridgeley Drive. Vinny's Caddy Shack over in Metairie. Come have lunch with us. Come hang out. We'll be there from 12 to 3 after further review with Matt Moscona is up next. Thanks for tuning us in. You've been listening to The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.